Welcome to this installment of the Stan and Chen Show here at the Daily Gazette Family of Newspapers podcast studio, the award-winning podcast studio. I'd like to add a little bit different vibe, a little bit different kind of conversation we're having today as we once again, Shannon and I, invite in friends that we've known for a long time, me a little bit longer than Shannon, but we've invited Bill Buell in to the studio today. And usually it is fun and games with us. It's kind of like our vibe and how we like to look at life and things like that. But we'd be remiss if we didn't take an episode and talk to somebody who's meant so much to the city of Schenectady, the county of Schenectady, and been a part of millions of lives throughout the area. So I'm just going to turn this over to Shen, and she's going to talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, and then introduce our dear friend Bill Buell.
Yeah, so, you know, as you mentioned, this is, you know, we wanted to take a moment to talk about Chris Hunter, my side president, who passed away at the very young age of 54 on May 14th due to a sudden battle of cancer. So, you know, we wanted to take some time and remember the impact that he had in downtown Schenectady and really all over the world. And I think, you know, we were chit-chatting just beforehand about how I think every reporter is probably, at least in our time at the Gazette, reached out to Chris for one story or another. He had a vast array of knowledge and, you know, I knew him for a short period of time as a reporter and then in my role as DSIC, which I'll talk about my first time actually meeting him in person. But Bill Buell, longtime friend. Well, long for me is like 5+ years, but that's long. So friend of the podcast, friend of both Stan and I, former coworker, we could say, because he, you know, he worked for the Gazette, former Gazette reporter, is the county historian and still writes a column for the Gazette. Used to see him in the office all the time. And, you know, we would quip back and forth with each other all the time. But yeah, so he is a, you know, really good friend, was a really good friend with Chris. And I know it's probably hard for him to be here today. So I just want to say thank you, Bill, for coming in and taking the time to talk about him, because I don't know, like, if you knew Chris, you knew of his impact. But I don't know if, like, sort of everyone beyond the scope of, like, who's worked closely with him really knew just how much he did. Like, people who go on a daily basis to my side might not know that a lot of the things that they're looking at that have been curated, that have been saved, that have been archived, that's because of Chris. And so a couple things right off the bat that I want to start off with, just so kind of have this idea of Chris is, Chris first visited the museum in fifth grade, which I thought was a really interesting thing to learn about. And from everything that I've heard, this is what really spurred him. You know, that love of history, that love of science and innovation and wanting to preserve it and make sure it was there for future generations, began volunteering at the Schenectady Museum, which is now my side, back in 1998. I was the ripe age of 2 when he began his career and was there for almost 5 decades. During that time, he, you know, oversaw millions of photos and documents at my side, including saving, I think it was like 2 million photos related to the GE collection, which is huge here for us, and it's huge for our country. If you know GE, you know that that really helps spur the like what makes this country. And then 2025, you know, he was only recently promoted to the president, being president of MySci. And I know a lot of people will agree it just was not a long enough time to have him in that role, and that role was meant for him. And I don't know how we fill those shoes moving forward, because he really just was the perfect person for that role. So I'm going to start off with the story of how I met him, and then we'll go to Bill's story because he's known him so much longer. But I've talked to him previously for stories, or asked him to help me find things for stories. But really met him. I was literally maybe a month into the job with DSIC, maybe 2 months. We had Wing Walk and they were tabling there and he was setting up and they had like all this stuff related to winning a prize at the planetarium. And you walk up and he's just a bright ray of sunshine. He just was that type of person. You could go up and have any sort of conversation with him. He knew so many facts. And I always appreciated conversations moving forward when I would see him in the community and just fun facts that he would throw out. And his just his knowledge of Schenectady, his knowledge of GE. And you could tell just from the way he talked about things that there was just such true passion for the work that he did. And I think everybody saw that in just how much MySci has changed and grown over the years. But yeah, so that was my first encounter. And I know so many people have shared out on social media theirs. And there's been just a lot of great things said about him. So I wanted us to take a moment today to reiterate those things on the podcast. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Bill to talk a little bit about Chris and how, you know, Bill, can you tell us about like the first time that you met Chris?
Thanks, Shannon. I think I met him way back in 2004. I had been a sports writer for 20 years at the Gazette, and then I moved over to features in the news department. And I did some checking of our electronic archives. I discovered that I had, over the last 22 years or so, I have at least done one Chris Hunter-related story every year. And often it was two or three stories that involved Chris. He was just a wonderful, kind soul. It's hard not to get emotional talking about him. I thought he was a bit older. I was kind of surprised to read he was only 54. I knew him pretty well, but I always thought he was like closer to my age.
It's that vast wealth of knowledge.
Yes. Well, and it's he was so he had so much valuable knowledge for the history community. I can sit here and say I know a lot about GE, and I do, but there's a lot I don't know about GE. And when I came across that issue, I just go to the phone and call Chris Hunter because it was a guarantee done deal that he would know it. Or he would call me back in 10 minutes and give me the information. It's scary to think how we're going to survive without him. And it's scary to think of all the General Electric, WRGB and WGY stuff, important collections that probably wouldn't have been saved if not for his efforts. You know, when GE stopped being so interested in its own history, they would give stuff to the Schenectady Museum or MySci. It became MySci in 2013, I think. But because they knew it was safe with him. The same with WGY and WRGB. If they were cleaning out their studio or something, they had some old tapes, they would drive down and give it to Chris. He was just a walking wealth of information about everything, but in particular, GE and the radio station and the TV station. Now, he had plenty of other interests. He was very interested in the colonial America and colonial Schenectady. He knew a lot about the Rev War. He knew a lot about Schenectady during the 19th century.
I was going to say, he did extensive research on the Civil War companies
right.
from Schenectady called 44th New York. Yeah. I believe he was doing that while getting his master's in Albany, if I'm not mistaken.
He got his history master's from UAlbany.
Yeah.
But he was on the road to becoming a finance accountant. And some guidance counselor told him there's no real good jobs in history, so why don't you get into finance, some finance? And so he did, and that's what he graduated from SUNY Brockport with a finance degree. And then after, you know, then going to Syracuse for his first master's, he started wavering about that field and then realized he loved history and he wanted to make that his life. And
what a change to make at a very historic college.
And, And it's great for us that he did, yeah, because he's just, you know, he was so helpful and he just knew so much. It's going to be real. It's going to be impossible to replace him. We're going to need a lot of hands on deck to do some of the work that he did.
And, well, you know, when people started sharing out on social media, you know, post his passing, I think one of the big things that really stuck out to me was just how involved he was in other things. You know, you talked to Betsy Sandberg from, you know, Kids Art Fest. You talked to the Ville Cemetery. You talked to the Rotary. All of them will probably tell you the same thing. They could call him up, and if they needed help with something, he was there. He was just a very reliable person. And like you said, very kind-hearted. Took time out of his day to have a conversation with you. And the part that just continues to, like, just really, like, I come back to is just, like, he was just someone who loved history, science, and innovation so much. Mm-hmm. And his need to make sure that future generations knew about it, knew about our history and how it impacts today, was absolutely incredible. The man could think years in advance of how what was happening today and the history being made today or the history made 20 years ago impacted today or impacts the next 5 years. And I think that's, like, it's almost chilling to think that we're not going to have sort of that person that can see, mm-hmm, like that for my side and for our community anymore.
He was a big help to me after I became county historian. I started the Schenectady County History Fair at Proctor's 4 years ago. And when I decided to myself, okay, I'm going to do this, my first phone call was to Chris Hunter, make sure he thought it was a good idea and to make sure, you know, he could help me and would be willing to help me. And he did. And as a result, my PSI and I should mention the Empire State Aeroscience Museum, they had great portable exhibits. But with their exhibit and Chris's exhibits, the history fair really took off. And then we had all these historical societies and other museums in Schenectady County that would bring in portable exhibits. This year, we even went out in the western part of the Mohawk Valley and brought in Johnson Hall and Schoharie State Crossing. Historians all like each other. They like it when we get together and talk. And Chris really, really appreciated that and enjoyed it. That's why it was so sad he wasn't feeling well enough to come to this year's, which is just April 18th. But I drove over to my PSI and picked up some interpretive panels on Charles Steinmetz that he loaned to me for the history fair. I stuck into my car and drove down to Proctor's, and then I took him back to my PSI on Monday. And that Friday when I picked him up was the last time I saw him because he was out sick when I brought him back. So the thought of doing this next year without him is just, it's very sad. We are going to do it. We're probably going to move it out to the Empire State Aeroscience Museum because those guys want it. And they had a lot of technology out there too. Chris had old tinfoil recordings of Edison making noise in 1878. And that kind of stuff, you know, we wouldn't have access to that if it wasn't for Chris Hunter. So I'm going to get to know the person that's trying to replace him pretty quickly, I hope. And so we are going to have a history fair next year, probably out at the airport, and we'll, you know, have some kind of dedication to him because he was so important to it, and we all loved him. Everybody looked forward to seeing Chris on that Saturday at Proctor's.
When we talk about history, and obviously we're talking to Bill Buell, man among men, dear friend, we first met on many soccer fields and such on the side. And
football fields
and shared many a laughs and comments.
Football, soccer.
Yeah. I mean, World Cup's coming up. You know,
football.
Football. A lot of laughs and things like that. Is the Schenectady County historian and just your appreciation for history, increased his appreciation for history. It's the past. You know, you're capturing the past and you're preserving the past. You know, what's my side is going to be okay, and then what does the community, whether it be at the legislative level or the government level or the community level, need to do to ensure that, you know, how can we find the next Chris Hunter? How can we find the next Bill Buell? Because you do need a day off.
Well, I hope I'm going to be around a while, Stan, but replacing Chris is almost impossible. It's going to take two or three people. It's going to take 10, 15 years. I mean, you just don't get a person like him to come along, but once in a lifetime. I remember he showed me, this was just kind of a happenstance. I was at MISA. He wanted to show me something. It was the story of GE electrifying rural communities in Schenectady County. And he's showing it to me, this film from 1924. And all of a sudden, I recognize my grandmother, Carianna Brust, from Heteltown Road in Glenville. They were showing how GE had electrified the home. Just incredibly valuable piece of footage. And it was my grandmother. And then I saw my mother as a little girl and my aunt. They were like 4 and 6. And I wasn't sure who was who, but my aunt, who was still around, identified the two little girls. She knew. And that kind of stuff, you know, I don't think it would have been saved if it hadn't been for Chris. Just a great guy. Really important.
And this is, you know, I love to put her on the spot. The conversation when Shannon brought up about bringing you in to talk about Chris Hunter and things like that, one of the things was it's been a tough spring right now because we lost Carm Bazile.
We lost Lisa Caparizzo before that.
Lisa Caparizzo.
It's been a rough year for the Caparizzo.
It's been a rough year. And then in your new role, you know, in our building, yeah. You know, when the news comes, you know, it's all hands on deck and we're trying to get trying to find the proper words and make the proper contacts to get. Part of it is getting the news out, but getting the memories and the reaction and things like that. And it's a lot of conversations I've been having regarding, you know, the work before and to pay homage to these people. I know talking to Maureen Neufeld and your boss, I mean, it was a rough couple of days for you guys because your DSIC, your organization, and then Ellen Maureen, but also you, were close to these people. So, I mean, what's that? It's a different role now. Before, you're like, oh my gosh, this happened. And then, like, you kind of go into auto mode where, like, you're like, call and write and text and respond back. So, you kind of are, that gets you through the day. But for you, what was it like, you know, for your office?
Yeah. So, we actually had a ribbon cutting the morning that the news broke. And I remember coming back to the office, and Maureen wasn't quite back yet from some meeting she was at. And I was sitting at my desk, and the first person who posted about it really on social media was Senator or Assemblyman Angela Santa Barbara. And I was just like, I was like so in shock that I went to Gail's office, and I was like, oh my God, Chris Hunter died. And Maureen happened to walk right in, and she goes, yeah. She goes, I found out like early this morning, but we were asked not to say anything until they told everyone at my side, which is, you know, understandable. That's like his second family right there. And he spent so much time with them. And, you know, and then it was, you know, what are we going to put out there? What are we going to post? And I really let Maureen handle it that day. You know, this was on a day where, like, we also had a pivot. We had two more ribbon cuttings that day. And you can't show up to those things and be sad. Like, we still have to, like, we still have a job to do. And so, you know, we let ourselves have, like, that time. And, like, you know, we talked about it in the office. And we knew we were going to put something out at some point during the day. And I think it was just sort of trying to get through that and get through the ribbon cuttings that day and put on, you know, be happy for the businesses that are growing and what's going on in downtown Schenectady. And in the back of our mind, we're just thinking about, like, you know, just like, what are we going to say about Chris? I did share out a post sort of immediately on my personal like work page about Chris, and though I did not have much time with him, and I will admit I've yet to go to my side, but I will be there for his celebration of life. As you know, life gets in the way, work gets in the way, but we had talked about like having him do like a video tour of my side, and you know, regrettably that won't come to fruition now with him. And so, you know, that's kind of a sad moment for me to reflect on. But you know, it's just like thinking back to other conversations that we've had, you know, our conversations the first time I met him, to fun facts that he shared along the way, to recently we were actually at the CBS studio, and they still have like their original, if not one of their original, like soundboards that they still use to this day. Not in the main studio, but in another one that they use for Power and Politics and other things. And I remember a quick conversation with him about that and just like how that should be memorialized at some point, when they're ready to give it up. And the question becomes is like, you know, he knew about these things, and he knew the right person to call to save that. And it's like moving forward, like trying to get those, because it's not going to, like, as Bill said, it's not going to be one person. That person comes along once in a lifetime, and we met him. And thank God we got to have him as long as we did, and that he saved so much of our history. But like, I don't know what this means moving forward for my side. And like, we'll be there as partners for them to help, you know, in whatever way we can. But it's going to be tough. There is no person, there's no one person that can fill his shoes. There just is not. There will never be another Chris Hunter. That's a person you meet and you just go, oh my God, wow. And I sort of said that. I said there are few instances in my time as a journalist where I'm just taken back by someone's passion for something. He was one of those people. So I mean, we had a really like, it was really hard that day. I let Maureen handle the post that we put out as an organization, just because she knew him a lot longer than I did. She's had many interactions with Chris. And I felt like, you know, from her perspective in being part of DSIC, she could really surmise. And I think it was really beautiful to end on talking about how he is like basically with the stars, because obviously my side has the planetarium. And so I think about that, you know. But yeah, it was difficult, and it's hard when you're in this position and this happens in your community. And yeah.
So we're gonna pivot to the other one in a million, in Gazette history, as kindly referred to as the legends.
Legends.
We don't say old timers. That's
that's me. They're legends.
That's cutting. We like the legend. And there's a couple, and I tell people all the time, you know, why'd you go to the Gazette? I said, well, it was a great opportunity. I should have taken several years before, but also the one thing I've learned from Bill Buell and Jeff Wilkin is like I can retire and then still come back and work 3 days. So I'm grateful for that opportunity to see this guy strolling in, and
you know, I feel like Bill, I'm gonna eventually get to the point where I'm gonna be Bill. Like I'm here a lot now.
and we do, you know,
maybe not as much historical.
We have the chair and the co-chair of the Mutual Admiration Society between Bill and my wife Rita, who just, you know, they can't share and like their Facebook posts fast enough, for whichever one goes up. But you know. Again, this is history. We talk about the past, and we talk about what it meant and what people meant.
I
was trying to lead somewhere. I didn't know where you wanted to go. So,
I just want to say one thing about Chris that we didn't really stress. You know, I'm a historian, but you know, put me in front of a bunch of machines like you know you're dealing with right now, I wouldn't have the slightest idea what to do, and I wouldn't want to learn. Chris, my side, the Schenectady Museum, had plenty of old stuff, and I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't have recognized its value. But the Edison tinfoil from 1878 that I mentioned, there was a bunch of them just, you know, in an attic somewhere at my side at the Schenectady Museum. And it was Chris who really realized the value of it. And, well, he's a historian for sure, but he's also a scientist and an engineer. He knew how to take care of those things. And in 2007, I did a story how he searched and found this college company in England who were digitizing old tinfoils. So if he had continued to work with those tinfoils or somebody else, they would have been damaged. They would have continued to be damaged, and eventually they would have been ruined. That's what Chris told me. But he mailed them to this university in England, Southampton, I want to say. But anyway, they digitized them. And so all that stuff is, you know, easily accessible now and safe, and we'll have it forever because Chris Hunter was more than just a historian. He was a scientist slash historian. And that's really important to remember about him.
Right. And visionary to know that, but also to recognize his limitations. Like you said, like he knew, like if I touch more of these more,
it's going to hurt.
We're going to lose it. But to have the vision, you know.
Yep. Exactly.
Of, you know, have that vision of the past and then preserve it for the future.
But also, like, his vision for MySci in general, you know, like, it's, yes, MySci is about history, science, and innovation, you know, history being one of the forefront things they talk about. But he was really stepping it into the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was bringing in things that younger people would really enjoy, like rocking the dome. Who thinks of doing that in a planetarium? Like, what a great concept to come up with. And just sort of reinvigorating the idea that museums are so much fun. They are a great place to go. It's you know, making learning fun again. I think that was, like, something he was really able to, you know, hone in on. And it's just kind of, it's sad to think he won't see through the new, the upcoming renovation project, the multi-million dollar one. Or this latest collection that, you know, he helped put together. I think I read in the old bit that the family actually went and recently saw it. And one of the things was like a camera from Channel 6, WRGV, that some of his family members were so enthralled by, which, you know, people who work in news, we love that stuff nonetheless. But I think it's great that you know, to see those, and they talked about it, see those smiling faces of families and kids coming back through the museum and stuff. And, you know, Chris was a big part of that. So a big part of making that magic happen there. So I think that's going to be, it's going to be hard. So
a little bit of a pivot, but looking at yesterday, today, and tomorrow with Schuylkill County historian Bill Buell, in your lifetime, is there going to be any other bigger day than this July 4th? Because you and I were here for 76. Don't say a word, Shannon. But you and I were youngsters for 70, you know, for 1976. You know, now it's 2026. Again, stay silent, Shen. she's over there killing herself right now. How big is it? I mean, I think when I was a kid and 76 came around, like, I was worried about getting all the state's quarters. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like my big history thing back in that time. But
good thing you weren't collecting pennies.
And
so it's huge.
You know, how exciting is it? You know, and I know, and we just talked about before we went to tape here to bring it to bring it back to talk about it. But just
also what's sad is, like, knowing Chris isn't going to be around for this, and like, can't even imagine what he was coming up with.
I was having trouble getting mentally motivated for this anniversary, just with all the stuff that's going on in America and the world right now. So it kind of felt, I don't know, uncomfortable to shout out, you know, yay, America, 250, we're great. But, I mean, I was ready to, because we do have a wonderful history, and hopefully we have a wonderful future, too. And being in Schenectady County, we're part of the American Revolution. We're part of the turning point of the American Revolution. So when democracy in the world was saved, you could argue, in 1783, when we were declared independent by official treaty, the Versailles Treaty, It's just, and Chris would have loved every minute, every year, every month of going back and looking at the history that happened in this area. We have Saratoga National Battlefield, 20 miles to our north. We have Fort Stanwix out in the Rome area. And we have Kingston, the first capital of New York, which was burned in 1777. So there's a lot going on here. It's great to kind of piggyback on what's going on at the battlefield because they always do wonderful things up there. So there's going to be a lot to see. We have some great programs coming up at the downtown library and then other various libraries in the county. That's a collaboration between the county library system and the Schenectady County Historical Society. We have 4th on the 3rd coming up, which is a collaboration of the county legislature and the Historical Society. The town of Glenville has its big 4th of July celebration coming up the last week in June at Collins Park in Scotia. That's always a great event. So there's a lot to celebrate, to commemorate. It's going to be a little bit darker for me without Chris Hunter because I just know he would have loved every minute of it. And it would have been fun, you know, sharing my knowledge and then getting so much knowledge from him. Because he, like I said, he's the expert on WGY, RGB, and GE. But he knew a lot about other aspects of history in this area, too.
All right. Well, I can't wait to bring you back on the rising star fireworks heading into the celebrations, multiples, 4th on the 3rd. Took me a year, but I've got it down now. So Kathy Gatta may not be yelling at me when we invite her in on the podcast to talk about 4th on the 3rd.
That's a pretty popular Scotia name. You don't want to mess with them,
Steve. I'm telling you, I had the 3rd on the 4th probably, what, 8 times in the podcast, and I thought she was going to strangle me. Stan, got it down now.
Scotia is a wonderful little village, by the way. I just wanted to take an opportunity to say that.
Shout out to Scotia.
For all my friends in Scotia. Bev Clark and all the people at the Turf Tavern. It's just a great place.
And before we end the podcast, I do want to note that there will be a celebration of life on Wednesday, May 27th for Chris at My Sci. It is open to the community. Doors open at 5 p.m. Remarks begin at 5:45, and they will be offering tours. And in lieu of flowers, the family has asked that you donate to My Sci in Chris's name. So hopefully we see some people out there. I think, you know, I'm planning to go down. I feel like most of our crew at DSIC, which is not a huge crew, will be going. And it's, if you haven't been to My Sci, I feel like that's a good way to honor him.
That's it. Take it in. It's a gem. And thank you, the gem, the commander. The commander, Bill Buell.
That was official.
It's been said on the podcast, so it's a thing now.
Okay.
The commander for coming in and sharing just the joy that you bring into this building whenever you come in. As I said, you know, Shannon said it, and there's, you know, if anybody disagrees, it's a long drop out a window. But we love having you come in.
And I love coming in and seeing all these wonderful young reporters. Newspaper business isn't what it used to be, but it's so reassuring to see some of the young reporters we have here who do a great job.
Sorry, I left. Sit back in my corner over here. I don't know. I feel like the podcast is still my journalistic.
Yeah.
It's you keeping your toe in.
Yeah. I'm keeping a couple of toes in.
Yeah. Shen's all
maybe a 1 foot.
She's a foot. Yeah. You've definitely got a foot in.
Yeah.
I won't say where the foot is sometimes when the phone goes off and I get the text.
I am consistently sending tips and stories. But anyway.
Tips, stories, yes. I have multiple editors in my life. Some are paid, some are not. So that's it. Stan and Shen Show, available on all your podcasting listening streaming platforms for free.
Just one more thing. Yeah. Again, our thoughts go out to Chris's entire family, his loving wife, Claudia, his stepdaughter, Fernanda, his mom, Margaret, brothers, Michael and Joseph, and all of his Mai Sai family and anyone else who was touched and impacted by Chris's just dedication to preserving history and living life. So.
And that's it. Thank you, Bill, for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Shannon, for being a co-host. The co-host of co-hosts. So thank you for that, and thank you for listening, and thoughts and prayers again to Chris and his family. And I'm just going to get you out of here on this one. Long live Mai Sai.
That's good.